Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hockey talk that hits. This is The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rabe.
Yeah, welcome back to The Instigators, and we're instigating already. Just told we could have 15 minutes with General Manager Jason Botcher. He looked at Chris Bandura like 15. Are you serious? Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
Do you want more time with us, or do you want less time?
Yeah, I was hoping for maybe half hour, an hour.
Okay, that's what I thought. Great. That's why you gave him the
just look, like
right?
Normal players, eh, Bots? We all want more ice time, don't we?
Look, I'm looking for knowledge, you know, and I want to get it from you guys.
Oh, you came to the right place. Let's get
this side of the table.
Let's get right to it.
I've heard you have some very creative ideas about our team moving forward. So that's great.
Hey, I don't sewer anybody. That's his board.
If you want to sit down with me, I could give you a few thoughts a little bit later. But
perfect.
We got guys going in and out of the lineup all the time.
There's nothing wrong with playing fantasy hockey, Bots. When you can't have the real job, what do? You play fantasy.
We actually have our pro scouting meetings going on right now, and we have Craig's board up, you know, and then we have what we're planning on doing. So
the opposite board.
Well then, you know what? Let's get right to a legit question that is probably a player you haven't even been asked about recently because you hear about Skinner, Risto, all these other guys. Victor Olofsson, is he a guy that, because on our board, Craig likes the cost-efficient idea of a guy that might be able to put up 20, 30 goals next year at about $1 million. I mean, is that a guy, with what you saw at the end of the season? Because I think he surprised a lot of us. I think he was a better skater than most of us probably had expected. Mm-hmm. The pass to Jack was amazing, which showed that he had incredible vision.
Yep.
And we already know about his shot. So, I mean, is that a guy that has impressed you to the point where you're like, we got to give him a serious look this year for that cost-efficient role on a top line?
He's certainly, and what we like about having a bulk of young players, that there's going to be competition in training camp for that spot. And I think it's always difficult to project which guy is really going to step up from that standpoint, but we have multiple players that we're looking to try to put into the lineup there. And Victor, I thought he had an amazing season. You know, when you make that transition coming over to North America, you don't know how it's going to go. We always talked about the shot, but what we liked was his ability as the season progressed, get to the net more, get into the forecheck more. He did a very good job in the defensive zone in the American Hockey League and really earned the opportunity to get called up. And I think what both Jack and Sam really enjoyed playing with him at the end of the season, simply from the standpoint of his hockey sense. And you talked about this, the shot to finish off chances, but also to create chances. I think the only thing that we have to guard against is, you know, games at the end of the season when you're out of the playoffs are different than the intensity of the National Hockey League at the start of the season when teams are all ready to go. But we'll certainly give him a great look at the start of the season, see where it goes.
Who else from Rochester are you looking at that you could say is either NHL ready or just on the cusp of making it to an NHL team?
Well, obviously, Alex Nylander. I took great strides last year. It was disappointing when he got up here that he did run into the injury, just to add more games to his experience level there. Also, you saw C.J. Smith. You saw last year where he was at with coming up. I thought he brought, you know, shows the ability to score, finish off chances. He'll be another one that gets a lot of looks. And then, I think a lot of guys on our team, you look at Erasmus Asplund, is he ready to make our team right out of training camp? But I think it's, you know, last year he comes to training camp, it's experience. Get a feel for it over in North America. Now he's going to come to be really pushing for a spot on our team.
Is the second half of the season for Asplund something that you say, hey, if he can have a 30, 40 games at the start of the season the same way, that now you're really looking at him being a big piece of your team going forward?
What's the safe, conservative thing to do is probably say, hey, at Christmas time, you're looking for him to really be in that call-up spot. But with this kid's work ethic and how he handles himself in the offseason, we're certainly going to be open to, you know, what he can do in training camp and see where it goes from there.
You know what? I think there's a lot of people, going back to Olofsson, there's a lot of people that were saying when he got called up, he looked really good. His skating was there. He was making plays. he was also something that you had mentioned. He looked really solid defensively. And these were things where, why wasn't this guy up sooner? He could have helped the team. And the reality is, he probably wasn't ready at that time. And that's where I think you've talked a lot in the past about having guys develop their game so when they do get to the National Hockey League, they're able to jump in and not only just be a player, but help the team move forward. And that's one thing that I remember a lot of fans were wondering why he wasn't up sooner. And yep. The reality is he probably wasn't ready at that time. But when you did call him up, he looked pretty darn good. And there was another player, too, that Will Borgen. We talk about all these yep. forwards, but Will Borgen is a guy that skated exceptionally well. He's got a physical presence to him, and he spent the whole year in the minors. Where do you see him as a possible guy coming to training camp and possibly earning a job?
Well, we'll start with Will there. What we loved about Will is just the progression throughout the year. He came from a very good program at St. Cloud, had an opportunity to represent our country at the Olympics, but still making that transition to pro hockey is an adjustment. And what we loved was he went from sort of a third-pairing guy, low minutes at the start of the year in the American Hockey League, to a player that our staff down there felt comfortable throwing in any situation out there. And just he brings a different attribute, that physical play that, you know, is different than a lot of other prospects. And he got us excited pretty much to start a training camp at the rookie tournament. He played with Dahlin, and I know Mr. Dahlin can make a lot of other players look good, but I think they complement each other very well mm-hmm. there. I think the big thing with giving him some games at the end of the season was great for him to understand just how hard it is at the National Hockey League, how physical guys are. You know, you talked to him a little bit about battling Anders Lee in front of the net, like how heavy a guy like Anders Lee is, and that's what he has to do. As a young guy, he's got a good size, good frame, but he still has to get stronger. And I think that just having that experience is going to help him a lot from a motivation standpoint in the summer, what he has to do. But we're certainly looking at him to push things at the start of the season. You look at, especially with Bogosian going to be out at the start of the year, he'll get a great look in training camp, Will, and we'll see where it goes from there. I do want to say, like, going back now to Victor, that's where, you know, there's always that transition coming from Europe over to the North American game. And, you know, going through the experience of going into a Syracuse on a Saturday night and the intensity in a small building like that. And he really handled those things very well. And what I like about Chris Taylor, what he teaches down there, is Victor was a big part of our penalty kill down there. And I think just that reliability, it teaches them better defensive habits that will allow them to come up to National Hockey League. Because as good of an awesome offensive player Victor is, it's difficult to earn that time on the power play right off the bat. With his penalty kill ability, it's going to allow him to get more minutes at the National Hockey League level.
So you're looking at prospects. Let's move on to trades, offer sheet, free agency to fill in spots in your team.
Well, you got it all covered there right
well,
away.
Well, no, but I'm asking you. There are some aggressive GMs out there, mm-hmm. and there's GMs that like to kind of see things develop a little bit more. This summer's interesting because of teams that are in cap hell or cap jail right now. You got teams, a lot of RFAs that are high-end RFAs available. You have some cap room. Where do you feel are some of the maybe tools that you can use as a general manager to maybe get one or two pieces to help your team and your roster?
Let me take this one, Jason.
I'm kidding. Go ahead. Go
to help the whiteboard.
He's got it. He's got it and stuff. No, look, it's these teams that you talk about in cap hell, it's eventually where we want to get to. Not because you're in a cap hell, but because you have a lot of talented players in your organization. And that's where you look at it. Some of these teams that are in financial restraints, it's because they have a lot of very talented players. We've tried to, over the last couple of years, utilize our cap space to our advantage and bringing in more skilled players to our group. And that's what we'll continue to look at. And I think it's going to be a very interesting market just because of so much uncertainty with the RFA market on what's going to happen out there. I do think it could freeze up a little bit of the possible trade market and also just the unrestricted market, just because teams don't know how much they're going to have to spend and how are these contracts going to play out. If you go long term, are the numbers going to be very high? You go shorter term, you certainly have a little bit more space to work with. But there's a lot of unknown going on from that standpoint. But we're certainly in a lot of dialogue. We do have, in our situation, short term, we certainly have cap space. With our young players, you always have to look in the future too, and you just want to make sure you're making the right choices there.
So yesterday the buy-sell trade was what, two or more
trades
this summer to, and but so which what you're talking about the
would you buy that, Jason? If he did a buy sell trade right now, there will be two or more trades by the buy sell trade. Don't answer that.
I'm open to bribes from you guys. So if you guys want to help me out a little bit, and then, you know, whatever money you're putting on, we can make some.
Give
work.
Me a couple alumni tickets to a game this year.
There
Maybe
we go.
A buff chicken
for some info.
A buff chicken at Jim's Steakhouse. I can make that happen too. I owe these guys about eight of them, so I would just put it on the list. No, but the reason I'm asking is because you're saying that the RFA market may freeze what trades could happen or where the UFAs may go. So do you expect at the trade to be a little bit slower when it considering trades and player movement because of what July 1st has in store for teams?
To be honest, Marty, it's difficult to assess. Like, look, is there a lot of communication going on out there? Yeah, but I think you see whether the trade deadline, you see leading up to the draft on July 1st, there's always a lot of, like, the way things have worked, obviously we made the trade later in the summer with Jeff Skinner, but that doesn't really happen that much throughout the year. It seems to be so focused on improving your team at two spots, the trade deadline and July 1st. So there's certainly a lot of discussion going on there. Predicting, hey, is there going to be more trades or anything like that? I think that's always difficult to handle. And, I talk about the unrestricted market certainly being, I think, that sort of that second or third tier. It might be frozen up a little bit, but you know teams are always searching for higher skill talent. And you look at I don't think there's a lot of talk about this unrestricted market. I think there's certainly some very talented players at the high end that will get very good contracts and very good offers out there. I think that second and third tier, it could be something that slows down a little bit just because of the unknown of the restricted market.
Jason Bottrell joining the Instigators right now on WGR 550 and MSG. Just a few more minutes with him. Just a lot of optimism and confidence around the Jeff Skinner contract. I have to ask you, Bots. I mean, there's speculation out there. I mean, Ralph Kruger was asked about it yesterday. Just seemed optimistic about the conversation that he had with Jeff Skinner. I mean, where are we at? Like, you know, I mean, is are you not nervous at all?
Well, look, it's what I've said before, Andrew. Like, until you have a contract signed, nothing's for sure. But what I've enjoyed about the negotiations is that there's no threats. There's no posturing. It's just trying to go through people's expectations and people's desires and trying to find a resolution to it. It's no, like, hey, we want to go to this or this. You know, it's been very straightforward from that standpoint. And we have a very open dialogue with Newport Sports. We've worked with them very closely the last couple of years, especially with Rasmus Dahlin coming into our group last year and just making sure everything was set up from that standpoint. I think there's a respect level from the agency there towards how we handle things in our franchise. So, that's where the optimism comes from, because it's been my job to try to find a resolution to it. He's a player that we certainly want to get under sign, but we have to look what's best for the organization. We're trying to get it done.
Do you talk to him every day? Is it a everyday conversation? Is he twice a day, every other day? Like, how? And I'm just in because if I was a player, I'd be calling my agent morning and night and be like, hey, did you guys talk? What happened? And I would put pressure on the agent maybe to get that conversation. Yeah. What he does, it's his business and he gets paid for that. But I'm curious to see if it's an everyday text or email or a phone call.
Well, I think what people are forgetting too is just that we didn't have a head coach for last month and a half or so, and that was a situation where nothing was going to be resolved. If you're signing a long-term contract, you're not going to sign a long-term contract with an organization until you know who the head coach is. And so once we had that set up, obviously there's communication with Ralph and Jeff. And I think as I mentioned yesterday in some of the things, it's the power of the players right now. The players that played under Ralph, the players that, whether it was Edmonton or at the World Cup, there was a lot more touch points than I anticipated with Jeff. And I think that probably gave Jeff even more comfort of having Ralph as their head coach there. Then it just comes down from a situation of communicating with it. And, yeah, we're in constant communication with Newport over the last little bit here and trying to get us something set up.
Well, I'd like to see, like, maybe you could have left your phone open on the table here and see if it vibrates and I could peek at the names coming in or not. So.
I turned
probably
it off
why I left it in
I wanted my full focus in this dialogue with you guys.
See, sure Petey puts it face down. Rivs and I are open book. Like, we just
I've learned the hard way.
and these type of negotiations.
You keep that phone face down, boys, okay? Listen, the in conversations about 8-year contracts, long-term deals with any player at this age on any team, does the conversation come up from, well, obviously it would be from the team side, about fear of the production in later in the contract?
It always has to be a part of the equation, especially when we have such a young team. Those are the dialogues that we look at. The comfort level that we have with Jeff's situation is part of the reasons why we like him so much as a player, and he's been a good fit for our team. Is just the professionalism that he's brought to the locker room, the focus that he has. You talk to him, and if you follow him on social media a little bit, you need to understand he's been bouncing all over the United States, and it's not just on vacation. He's going to train with different people, trying to find different elements to give him that edge. And I think he's very focused on his health, very focused on new ways of training. I think he really integrated well with not only our players on our team, but also our staff and some of the what our sports performance ideas from a staff can bring him. And I think he was invigorated by it. So, look, there's always risk. There's always risk of an injury that you can't control. But how he takes care of his body off the ice is very impressive, and it gives us comfort in offering a longer-term contract.
Do we have to wrap, Bandukes? We got a minute or two. You're looking forward to going to Vancouver for the draft. Can you give us four players? I mean, you're drafting at number 7. Can you give us four players that intrigued you? We talked to a couple really impressive young men. One of them ranked later on in the draft. Who was the other one we had? We had
Cole Caulfield.
Impressive.
Case McCarty.
What are you looking at going into the draft at 7?
We're looking for the best player, Andrew. Best player, but look, it's a tough way.
All right, boss. All right,
Andrew, I'm not going to present my list because I think it's a very unique year. Like, obviously, you have your top two players at the top of the draft, and then I think what's exciting about going into Vancouver, one, the draft's always a great time just because you have the entire hockey world in one spot from the communication standpoint with agents, with other GMs, and just being on the ice surface there. At the rink, like, it's exciting. It's a fun atmosphere and stuff there, and you're bringing talented players into your organization. But what the other thing is you look at the draft this year, whether you want to go 3-10, 3-12, there's some very talented players in that group, and I think they're all sort of teams have that the same players sort of in there, but it's going to be a different mix from that aspect. So it'll be I can't predict it on way. Or there's going to be a lot of trades because players want to, or teams want to move up to get their guy maybe a spot or two ahead, or there's a group of players that they're going to feel comfortable that they come down to them anyways and stuff.
I'm going to give him a name. You're going to read his face. Okay, how's that sound? Does that sound like a good idea?
Here go for it.
Matt Boldy, Cole Caulfield, Turcotte. Oh, did his eyes move on?
That's my guy.
That's Rich guy.
Okay, let me ask you this, though. You won't give away your.
We're taking Turcotte.
I take it you guys got a. You like the Americans. I take it from all the suggestions there.
Well, listen, about this. You're not picking first or second. You went to the World Championship. You got to see Hughes and Kaapo Kakko firsthand. I'm not going to say who would you pick at number one, but what did you think of those two guys, and how did you feel about the chance that we may see some movement or some surprises at number one and two this year?
I don't think you're going to see any surprises at one or two, just because, look, those are two talented players, very different players, but both are going to step in and help their organizations immensely right off the bat.
Will both play in the National Hockey League next year?
I certainly think so. And I think, look, my anticipation is after 3, you're probably not going to have as many playing in the National Hockey League. But
after 3? So you feel that 3 players out of this draft?
No, I believe 1 and 2 will play in the National Hockey League for sure next year. Beyond that, I don't think there'll be a lot. But that being said, I was impressed last year. There were some players, Kokiemi and stuff too, that stepped in right away and had great seasons that maybe on projection I wasn't thinking they're going to be in the National Hockey League. And you go through the combine last week and you just realize it's astonishing how prepared these guys are.
Yeah.
And how physically built a lot of them are now through the program. So whether it's, they're skating at such a young age, working with trainers, strength trainers at such a young age, these guys are more mature and more prepared to step into the National Hockey League at a young age.
We were saying that when they were on the bike, just watching them do their, I think it was the Wingate test. it's amazing how mature they are. Their legs, their structure, their power, all look the same in the upper body.
Well, they're
and
all
the
built
arms.
Different than we were. I feel like they. I feel like now they're longer
there were
and leaner.
There some bodies, and there is.
Well, yeah, but back in the day, there were like I just feel like all hockey players were kind of like they were all like beefy, and now they're long and lean. Their legs yes. are still huge. Yep. Their legs and butts and their cores are strong. But I feel like now they're
built for
there's
quickness,
less
built for power. They're like thoroughbred horses now.
Yeah, less like, bowling ball shoulders on them these days. You know, you looked at my shoulders. They're not nearly what they were back in the day. Are you watching the Raptors?
Watching the Raptors, for, without a doubt. It's great for Canada basketball and just the atmosphere in, up in Toronto right now in those games. Yeah. Insane.
It is crazy. I never thought we'd ever see it. Bots, great stuff. Thanks for joining us today. Appreciate it.
No problem at all, gentlemen.
All right.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.